Luke chapter 24. I'm electronically challenged, so I need help with this stuff. I was talking to Jim earlier and was telling him he borrowed a scan tool from me, and he asked it if I wanted it back, and I said, my wife wants you to figure out what's wrong with me with that thing, but it was beyond its abilities, amen. Here we are on Resurrection Sunday. What a blessed day. What a blessed day. Every day we should remember that Christ died for us and rose again. But I want to look at some things today that I ask God to bless, and I'm sure the Word of God always helps us out. Amen. If you can just get me out of the way and you can see Jesus Christ, we'll be successful this morning. Let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, here we are meeting together, talking about you, bragging on the resurrection, Lord. And we thank you that we could come to you in prayer because of the blood of Christ, and that you are risen, Lord, that we don't serve a dead Savior. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the message, breathe on it, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, change us for your honor and your glory. Amen. In Luke 24, beginning in verse number 1, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now here we are looking at the resurrection. The resurrected Christ, he's not in that grave. You can go to graves all over the world and find bodies. But you go to Jesus Christ's grave and there's no body. Because he is risen. He is risen. But like every amazing story you'd ever heard in the Bible, there's a somewhat of a backstory. Amen. I think a lot of folks, we meet together and we focus on the resurrection and praise God. No resurrection, no salvation. I understand that. I really do. If Christ didn't rise again, then you can't be saved. He's just another man, a good man that died, and that was it. But he is risen. But the story, I want to look at the story here, and the first thing is the starting point. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I mean, let's put the thing in perspective. Let's put everything in perspective here. God created the heaven and the earth. And it goes through and it talks about all the things God did and his mighty acts, speaking things into existence, and God said that it was good. Amen? The reason we look around and see things are not good now is what happened after Genesis 2, verse 7. In Genesis 2, verse 7, God created Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we see the starting point. God created things. God made man breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then in Genesis chapter 3, God had told Adam not to eat that one fruit. Not to eat that one fruit. So we saw the starting point, and then we see sin. And every time you look around and see the mess that's going on, it's all because of sin. Amen. When you go to a funeral and you lay to rest the body of a loved one, it's because of sin. It may not be, I'm not saying it's directly a result of that particular instance, but sin brought this curse on this world. Sin brought death to this world. So we see the starting point with God starting everything off and it was good. Man gets in it, sins, and messes it all up. And then we see the separation. Look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. In Isaiah 59, verse number 2, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. We see the starting point. God sets everything up. It's good. We see man bringing sin, and then we see the separation. What happened to Adam? He had a problem with fellowship with God because of sin. And there's a separation between man and God because of sin, because of iniquity. Because God is holy and righteous and clean and good. And he can't fellowship with that mess. So the separation happened. Turn to John 3. John chapter 3. The starting point was good. Sin brought a curse on this world. Separation from God because of that sin. In John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look at verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We see the sending. God sent his Son. It's not just about a resurrection. It's about a starting point. It's about a sin of man. It's about a separation. It's about ascending. And it's about a stepping down, because God himself stepped down from heaven and walked this filthy, sin-cursed earth for you, for me, for us. As we see this picture develop, we see the sorrow. Look at Luke 22. Luke 22. Now, honestly, when you sometimes you go into church service and you have a real good time with the Lord, and the Lord just meets with you and deals with your heart, and you go back out in the world, sometimes it's depressing. You have all this garbage of the world trying to fill back into your mind and your heart when God just done something for you. And it is. You look around, you see all these things, and I was talking to a fellow the other day. We were talking about our country, and it breaks my heart to see God's blessings go to waste like they are in this country. But it fires me up to realize that God's going to come back. Jesus Christ himself is going to come back. And not only call us out of here, he's going to fix this mess. Amen? The only one that could. So there was a stepping down from heaven. And in Luke 22, let's start in 39. "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." That's a good prayer, amen. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Not only was there a stepping down, but there was a sorrow that God went through for you, that he went through for us. You know what it's like, or we all know what it's like, how burdensome and how convicting and how tiring one little sin in your life can be. How sorrowful one little sin in your life, one little act of disobedience. Maybe it's just not doing what God called you to do one day. And you know how sorrowful that can be, how heavy that can be in your heart. And then think of the fact that God himself was in that garden with the sin of every single individual. The sin of the entire world. And he's taken that to Calvary. He sorrowed like no one has ever sorrowed. And he did it for you because he loves you. And for me because he loves us. For God so loved the world. But we see surrender in verse 42 of Luke 22. Saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He surrendered to the will of the Father, and that's the reason we are able to meet together today, knowing we're on our way to heaven, and we can brag on Him and talk about the fact that He is risen. It's all because of His obedience to truth. His obedience to the Father. I still can't wrap my mind around the love of God, how He could look down on us and decide to love us. So much that He would come to this earth Himself. Hey, by the way, that was God's blood that was shed on Calvary. Because Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is not was God. Jesus Christ is God. And the reason we can say that is because His sepulcher is empty, because He is risen. The sorrow, the surrender. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 3. We're looking at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We've seen the starting. We've seen the sin. We've seen the separation. We've seen the sending. We've seen the stepping down from heaven. We've seen the sorrow of God Himself in the garden. We've seen Him surrender to the will of the Father. And now we see the satisfaction. God the Father looked at His Son, and He was satisfied with His Son. And because He was satisfied with His Son, He could be satisfied with the death of His Son for your sin, debt, and mine. We could not satisfy that. But God satisfied that. The same God that could have wiped us all out, started all over again, and He could have done it for eternity if He wanted to. But He decided to love you and me. He saw you before Calvary. Amen. John saw you after Calvary, before Calvary. Amen. Before you went to Calvary. In Revelation. I talk to people all the time, and they're going to get their basket of good works, and they're going to take it to the Lord, and they'll say, okay, and they're going to St. Peter in this magical gate, and they're going to take this basket of good works that they think are good, and they're going to take it to the gate of heaven in their mind, and they're going to say, Lord, look what I have here for You. Can I get in? And it won't satisfy. But He looked at His Son, and He was satisfied. He saw His sacrifice, and He was satisfied. When He looked at that shed blood, He was satisfied. Hey, the blood and bulls and goats couldn't do it. The blood and bulls and goats had to be sacrificed, and had to be made over and over and over and over again. And Jesus Christ went one time because He is perfect. He is holy. He is clean. He is good. He is God. And He did it for you. He died for you. I get excited about the resurrection. I'm not going to the grave forever because Jesus Christ didn't. Man, it really boggles my mind why He'd do it for me. Amen. I might even be able to look at some of you and say, I don't know everything about you, so I may be able to look at you and say, I can see why He'd do it for them. But I know a lot of things about me. Why would He do it for me? Honestly, you're in the same boat. Why would He do it for me? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. That starting point was an amazing thing. But you know what else was an amazing thing? Just as amazing? That new birth. That new starting point. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Back in Luke 24. The starting point where God creates everything and says it is good. He seen it was good. The sin of man perverting what God had made. The separation. Because of sin and iniquity there, the sending of His Son, the stepping down from heaven, the sorrow, the surrender, the satisfaction. Luke 24:7, the salvation. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. That word must. He had to come to this world. so you and I'd have hope. He had to go to Calvary, so you and I'd have hope. He had to die on the cross, so you and I'd have hope. He had to go to hell and drop your sin debt off, by the way.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So you don't have to. Amen. So I don't have to. For us. He had to raise from the dead. Now the ball's in your court. If you want to go to heaven, you have to trust Him.
Amen.
And look, I'm not talking about joining church.
Yep.
It's good to see y'all, but if you never come back here again, you can still go to heaven by trusting Christ.
Amen.
I'm not talking about being baptized. The old preacher said you can be baptized till you swell up like a prune and still go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
I'm talking about being saved.
Amen.
I'm talking about being blood-bought born again. I'm talking about realizing you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 is obviously clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in here is a sinner.
Amen.
But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, Romans 6:23 just nails it down. You know what else it nails down? That it's a gift. I've got some Amish neighbors. They're good people. Man, they are workers. But they don't understand it's a gift. They think they have to keep working it to keep it. Amen? I'm not bragging on us. I'm bragging on Him.
Amen.
He finished it all. If He would have took the blood of bulls and goats and laid it on the altar, the Lord would have said, that's good for a while. But He didn't. He took His blood. And He said, that's good for eternity.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He doesn't just save you. He seals you until He calls you home. You won't need to be sealed anymore then, amen? You're sealed here. You've got to have a seal in this world.
Amen.
Amen. He had to suffer for you. So you could live and live eternally. So I could live and live eternally. You see, the thing is, there's so much religion and so much confusion, and God's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
The only thing that cuts through that confusion is light, and this is it. This is it. It's not the pastor's opinion. It's not the missionary's opinion. It's not the trustee's opinion or the church secretary's opinion. Donald Trump's opinion or Joe Biden's opinion. Sorry if I kicked your dog there, but it's not their opinion. You know whose opinion it is?
Amen.
It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
There's the light.
That's right.
That's what straightens out religion.
Amen.
Right there. So if you're religious, let me warn you. Being religious will send you to hell.
Yep, that's right.
Being saved,
yep,
will take you to heaven. I like singing about my Savior.
Amen.
Not that I can keep Him all to myself, because He's everybody that accepts Him, Savior. Amen. All you got to do is trust Him. Call on Him. I like singing about my Savior.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to sing about your Savior.
Amen.
But I can sing about my Savior.
Amen.
That happens to be your Savior if you're saved. I couldn't imagine sitting in a church service, lost and on my way to hell, singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and not even knowing. Talk about my Savior's love and be going, "Yeah, I'm talking about your Savior's love." Well, let me tell you, He loves you.
Yeah.
And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, it's not about Easter bunnies and eggs.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be in any church service ever. It's about the fact that God loves you. And He looked at you and decided you were worth dying for. Isn't that something? Not the person next to you. If the person next to you wasn't even here, He would have still looked at you and decided that. But He looked at you. And if you're here today and you're lost, He loves you and He wants to save you. And again, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about good works. I'm not talking about reading your Bible through every 35 days. I'm not talking about being baptized 20 times or joining 10 different churches. I'm talking about, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you?
Amen.
He's my Savior.
Amen.
Because of what He did for me.
Amen.
not just on Calvary, but when he called me.
Amen.
When he called out to me and said, you need to get saved. Amen. Back in Isaiah 59, it talks about your sins and iniquities have separated you from God, hid his face from you. It's your sin that makes you worthy of dying and going to hell. Amen. It's your sin. It's your iniquities that separate you from God Almighty. And here we are today in a Resurrection Sunday church service. And I'm going to tell you, it's your choice. One decision is going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. And that's whether or not you call on Jesus Christ. Now, I hope everybody in here is saved, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're not, I wouldn't walk out this door lost knowing the truth. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. Life, it is but a vapor. We preached a funeral of a young lady last year, and almost a year to the day we preached a funeral of her mother. Her mother had no idea that was going to be happening a year down the road. It could have happened a week down the road. It could happen before you get down the road. You need to make sure you're saved.
Amen.
Oh, Easter bunnies and eggs. No, salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Salvation through Jesus Christ. The starting point, boy, it was so good. God looked at everything, and he looked at everything that he had made, and he is such an awesome God. He is the awesome God, big capital letter G, amen. And boy, he spoke things into existence. The Spirit of God moved on the waters. It goes through the whole details of creation. And we still got people that rather believe we come from monkeys in an accident a billion years ago. And you might be here today, and they might have told you that in college. Let me tell you something, friend. If they told you that, they lied to you. You know why? Because the devil wants you to die and go to hell. He wants you to believe in science and forget the Savior. And boy, God, he laid it out exactly the way he did it. He even goes through it a couple times with more detail, amen? Then he talks about, creating Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And we look at Adam's sin, and Adam died spiritually upon that sin, and then his flesh died later because of that sin. This flesh is doomed. God couldn't do anything with Adam's flesh. It was filthy. So he had his son come down and walk in flesh.
Amen.
You know what he did? He kept it clean.
Amen.
Nothing inside dirty. Nothing. And then he died so you and I could live. But that sin, we joke around about Adam. Adam caused this, Adam caused that. But if he wouldn't have done it, you would have or I would have.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that separation, boy, that's a bad thing. You know, it talks about they went to the sepulcher and the stone was rolled away. Now, if you're lost, you're separated from God, you can't get to heaven. If you're saved and you're here today and there's some sin in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to call out to God and have him roll the stone away of your heart.
Amen.
And let him have control of it again.
Amen.
I mean, he moved in and took over once. And it seems like a lot of times this flesh keeps fighting him for the throne. But maybe you just need to call out to God and ask him to roll that stone away in your heart. Maybe break that fallow ground up in your heart. I know that's good preaching for lost people, but how about saved people? Their heart gets hard. Show up at church and the joy birds of the Lord just aren't singing in your heart the way they were. Like Brother Jim White used to say it all the time, it just tickled me. You get into the song service and you're saying the words, but your heart's not moving with it. Preacher's preaching, and all you can think of is, man, that guy doesn't have good English. He ain't got good English. That's all you can think about. Amen. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe your heart. Maybe God could roll that stone away. I know he could. Maybe he would roll that stone away today. And you get right with him. And you could walk out this door whistling and singing about the Lord. Not just talk about Easter bunnies and eggs, but you can go down there to the Kroger store and tell somebody what Jesus Christ did for you.
Yeah.
Amen. It's hard to do that when you're out of his will. And it's almost pointless when you're out of his will. I mean, you can't give the scripture to the wrong person, but I mean, you don't have his power, you're out of his will. Boy, he'd roll that stone away, though. He'd roll that stone away. He sent his son to bridge that gap. That's what Calvary was all about, was making it possible for you and I to get back with God. And then he gave us a Bible so we could pray and read this book and sit under teaching and preaching, which, by the way, I got some good preaching this week over the revival meeting. Praise the Lord. Forgot how much I was missing that. Amen. Y'all are saying, I'm missing it too. Amen. But I mean, he gives us this book so we can open it up and let him roll that stone away after salvation. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. You know what would be a good day? What would make a good day for you? Is if you're not saved, you just call out to him and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. And if he gives us another year and we meet here again next Easter, when you sing about a risen Savior, it means something totally different to you. Amen. And if you're here and you're out of God's will, and you let him roll that stone away and get right with him, you could sing that song all day long and mean it. Amen. You could sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, like you've never sang it before. Those little kids, you know what's so sweet about that? They're a lot cleaner than you and I most of the time. God saved them early. God's keeping them clean. And when they sing it, it's from the heart. Do the same thing for any one of us. You just let him roll that stone away and work on that heart. I'm going to ask the piano player to come. Surprise. And I'm going to ask you a question. The most important question you'll ever have to answer. Please, don't be trimming your toenails and goofing around. I want you to hear this. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Where are you going when you leave this world? It's heaven or hell. It's your sin that makes you worthy of hell.
Right.
It's your rejection of Jesus Christ that'll put you there.
Amen. Right.
And it's your decision.
Right.
As the piano plays, you have to make the right decision today. If you're going to go to heaven, you're not going on your merit. You're not going on your good works. You're going to go because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because God himself died for you and died for me. And because he is risen.